The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome. Today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, we were very much engaged in financial instructions, teachings, guidance last week. And so all of the issues that were going on in the country, we were kind of not paying, at least not taking up in the show during that period. And of course, I don't apologize for that because so many of you have indicated how beneficial you found those series of shows. And I want to thank all of our guests and all of our sponsors who participated to help make that series of shows just fantastic, including Kalina Financial Advisors Limited, Fidelity, Sarawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance. They all just delivered magnificently, and we look forward to continuing to provide that kind of information to you over the months to come. But while we didn't miss some of the happenings in the government circles, in particular conversations around the National Insurance Board rate increase, what is to happen, what is not to happen, I found quite interesting, really, you know. Now, first of all, not interesting because there was an announced rate increase. Because anyone, if it were easy to do, I would have gotten that show where we had extensive discussions about the National Insurance Board. And I told you all, I said without any doubt in my mind, I said, I'm not worried about it because the government is going to raise the rate. Does anybody know that? There's no question. They were not going to let the fund fail. No matter all that talk about, we're not going to, you know, we're going to delay, we're not going to put burdens on the Bahamian people, etc. None of that bothered me because I knew. And I indicated, at the end of the day, governments are pragmatic when it comes to their backs being against the wall and doing the thing that they know is going to be devastating. So the government was not going to ever let that happen. Now, let me go on record as saying another something. The minister responsible for national insurance, and this is the second time it has happened. The minister responsible for national insurance, with the report of the actuarial report of the National Insurance Board, indicated that the fund, the rate will go up 1.5 percentage point. It is not percent. 1.5% is nothing, absolutely nothing. So if your rate is 9.something% and you have a 1.5% increase on that rate, then all that means is that the rate goes to I'm going to tell you right now, the rate goes to 9.135%. If that's the rate, I'm not saying that's what the rate is. The rate could be more than that, but that's what it'd be. That's not what's happening. The 1.5 percentage point increase means if the rate is 9%, then it goes to 10.5%. That's entirely different. That's almost a 20% increase in the rate, right? And so we have to stop saying it's a 1.5% increase. It's a 1.5 percentage point increase, right? The minister says that will happen every 2 years of 2044, I think it was, he said. And that's in that he wasn't making that up. Minister says he wasn't making that up. That's what was recommended by the actuaries, right? So he was saying, lo and behold, the prime minister, as is his right, it's his government. Can I repeat that for you guys? A minister could get out there and say anything in the world he wants. As long as it's not refuted by the cabinet or by the prime minister, it is the standing policy of the government. So once the prime minister comes behind and says, it's this, well, he's making it clear to you what his government's policy is. And the prime minister came by and said, no. Remember, he did this to Miles. He said, no. We haven't made any such decision yet in accordance with the actuary report to save the fund. We haven't done that yet. What we are going to do is a one-year increase. That's 1.5 percentage point increase come July 1, 2024. That's all that we have decided. We haven't decided anything else because we're still reviewing. So that now is the government's policy, what the prime minister said. The question for us is, how does a minister responsible for a board like the National Insurance Board, who sits with his colleagues every Tuesday, God sends, without exception, generally speaking. I mean, it's very few rare exceptions, right? Every Tuesday, you're making a big policy decision like a change of the rate of the National Insurance Board. You want to make a big announcement. It's not a little announcement. 1.5 percentage point every 2 years till 2024. And you don't sit down with your colleagues around the table. I'm saying this because if the prime minister had corrected, the assumption has to be this was not discussed around the table. We did not agree this around the table. And therefore, your announcement is not my government's policy. How does that happen? This is the second time. It's happened to my minister, Lamaze Sirota. It has also happened the third time, not on NIB, but it's happened to Minister Sayers before, right? So how does that happen, that you cannot coordinate a major announcement? Listen to me. This was not Minister Sayers making this announcement because some reporter stuck a microphone in his face during his going to cabinet or coming from cabinet or walking out of the House of Assembly or walking in the House of Assembly. You know, that wasn't when this happened. This was a prepared speech by the minister responsible for the National Insurance Board. As far as I'm aware, Alfred said is a very thoughtful, considered fellow. He goes into his budget debate and he lays out what he believes to be the government's policy. Expect a rate increase beginning July 1, 2024, 1.5 percentage point, and expect that rate to increase every 2 years thereafter. Major, major, major announcement. I imagine that if you're the National Insurance Board, you are celebrating. You are saying, oh, at last, at long last, there is now a rescue for the fund. There is now opportunity for the fund to be replenished. Only to find shortly thereafter the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the head of the government of the Bahamas, comes and says, not so. We have not agreed that. Now, mind you, when Mr. Sayers made his announcement, he said, and on this point, we shall be uncompromising. Uncompromising. Not when the Prime Minister then rebuffs him that way, corrects him that way, amends the policy that way, what is a minister supposed to do? Let me tell you the predicament, the larger predicament that what has become somewhat regular, right? About ministers making pronouncements only to find the Prime Minister following behind saying, no, 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 not so. I'm going to say something else about that in a minute, but here's what becomes problematic about that. If you are the public and you hear a minister make an announcement, you know what you now have to do? You now have to say, wait for it. Wait for it. That's what you have to do. You cannot rely on a minister's pronouncement yet to say, okay, settles it. You have to wait and see whether or not an announcement by the Prime Minister will follow. Prime Minister's office will follow. Right? Now, it's wrong to correct or clarify what his policies are, but there is clearly something amiss if the Prime Minister is finding himself having to follow his ministers on major issues like that because it speaks to coordination of government work. And the Prime Minister is the one responsible for the coordination of cabinet. That's one of the Prime Minister's principal jobs, is to coordinate the affairs of the cabinet so that it speaks as one voice, with one voice. So something is amiss there. And there has to be lessons for ministers. And the first lesson is, it's not your government. It's not. You even though ministers say this, they are not supposed to say this. When a minister says, my government, no minister has a right to say that. The only person, only minister who can say my government is the Prime Minister because he is truly his government, which he formed at the request of the Governor General. And the Governor General can say it on behalf of the Queen. But no other one, no minister can say that. So ministers have to learn it's not your government. If it's therefore not your government, and you are having a major policy pronounced, why would you not ensure, Prime Minister, you know, here's what I propose to say. Please let me know if this is okay with you. Why would you do that? I would put myself in that situation. I regularly, understanding, and I have responsibility for National Insurance Board, understanding whose government it is, would say to Mr. Ingram, listen, I'm supposed to make you, and he might say, no, Shabab, they say this way, or that, clarify that, but because I don't want to put myself in that kind of embarrassing situation. The second thing is, this almost always happens on a matter that is reacted to by the public in an unpopular way. So the Prime Minister becomes the cleanup man. Something is said, BPL rate increase by the chair, the BPL board, rate increase by NIB, by the Minister LaRota, now by Minister Sayers, something said by Minister Wayne Monroe about domestic violence or something of that nature. Prime Minister comes behind, cleans it up. Always a controversial issue. Clearly to be avoided by, right? And that's the aim. You want a single government able to speak with one voice. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce for every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink. Or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast. Available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bring a dude Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 and 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-20. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Talking about NIB and the announced rate increase, which was subsequently modified by the Prime Minister. I want to make it clear that on the on the fundamentals of the proposal to increase the rate, I don't have an issue if that's the approach the government decides to take among the recommendations for making solvent the National Insurance Fund. Mind you, the report has many more recommendations to take into consideration. It includes, as you would have heard, recommendations with respect to increasing the retirement age and the like, right? The Prime Minister says that we want to take a comprehensive approach. We're reviewing, but let's be clear, honestly. The Prime Minister and the government, as did the previous administration, they've all had this report for a very long time. Right, we have to be honest. I mean, when I'm saying us, I don't mean the government. I mean we have to be honest. We've had it for a sufficiently long time. The truth of the matter is, the politics of offending you, the politics of making you, upsetting you, the public about taking monies out of your pocket has been the Achilles heel of the National Insurance Board and practically every government enterprise from time immemorial. You governments, administrations, do not take up these heavy lifting things. They are afraid of you. They are afraid of your responses. They are afraid of the so-called small man. They are afraid of the so-called average man. They don't do it because they are selfish, but they don't do it because they don't know better. That's not true. They don't do it because the pragmatic political reality stare them in the face that when I make you pay more money, you get upset. That means you're probably going to not vote for me. And that's the Achilles heel of far too many government decisions. Spanning generations, not just the Davis administration, where there was some issue in the Christie administration, some issue in the Finley administration, the Ingram administration, the Christie administration, the Minnis administration. Very often these matters get stuck on what? The pragmatic political realities of the Bahamian public. Why do you think nothing was done with taxi quotas for a long time? Don't want to upset the public. Why can't the Jitney people get a rate increase? Can't upset the public. Why wasn't BPL allowed to get a rate increase until it was too late? We had to pay a heavier price for it. Don't want to upset the public. That's the practical reality of what happens. It's something the government seeks to do for you and for itself. For you, not cause you to pay more money. For itself, not get you to be angry with it, to vote against it. That's the reality. That's the reality. This is not about we haven't had enough time to review it. This isn't about we don't know what to do. This is about can I find a way to do this and not lose votes? Across administrations, that's reality. Right? Scan down the road for a long time. And I'm not excluding the administration to which I belong. We kicked the can down the road for a long time. And I had a conversation with a friend, and we kicked it down the road so long that now present generations are going to have to sacrifice some discomfort in order to make this thing solvable for future generations. So I'm not arguing about or debating whether the government should not do the rate increases. Quite frankly, I believe it should do that among other things. It might decide not to do a 1.5% rate increase. It might decide to do a 1% rate increase with some increase in the retirement age, maybe 1 year, 2 years, whatever, et cetera. It could do a combination of things, right? It could do a combination of things with the investment policy of the board. Any combination that makes the thing work. Because that's the ultimate aim. It has to, the fund has to be saved. But why is the Prime Minister because the announcement by his minister might be deemed too much for the public, and the public might get angry, and that angry public might make the government unpopular, and I am not going to do that. That's the reason. That's the problem. Otherwise, did the minister go rogue? Otherwise, is the government not communicating with itself? Otherwise, did somebody make an approved announcement and then the response was too much and therefore I'm now going to have to go and amend it so we could deem the savage beast? That's what is it? It's, folk, can I say something to us in this country? Trying to keep you, in quote, from suffering has brought you in the long term too much suffering. Short-term political gains have brought you long-term political losses as a people. And it continues. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We want to pay our respects to our suppliers, our vendors. We'll be back.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF. Money at work.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in...
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Superclub Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
Right now, if you like raining.
Join the Falcons, Iris Storr, Novi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mamadi, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
RBC debit card holders, collecting a new RBC Visa debit chip card just got easier with Saturday opening hours. Visit our Cable Beach, Carmichael Road, Palmdale, and Prince Charles branches March 16th and March 23rd between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with one form of valid government-issued ID. Start enjoying greater security and contactless features with your new RBC Visa debit chip card now. RBC.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You feel like you've been taken away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Vago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, well, Mr. Lang, if Mr. Sayers had no permission to discuss cabinet matters with no approval, did he break the law or should he be fired? He did not break the law. There's no law against it. And it wasn't that he didn't have cabinet permission. You know, when you're the minister, you actually can make policies in your ministry, but what you want to do is to make sure that those policies, especially if they're substantial, have agreement, but if you go there and you make an announcement before the cabinet agrees it, that's not breaking the law. And if there's any seriousness about it, then that's about the judgment of the prime minister as to whether or not he should fire you. That's what it is. That's not. And if the prime minister doesn't fire you, doesn't take umbrage with it in terms of you personally, there's no issue, none whatsoever. Say, didn't you have a former co-worker that was fired for divulging private cabinet matters, Ken Russell? What's the difference here? I don't know anything about Ken divulging cabinet information and getting fired for it. I know about some maybe opposing comments or something of that nature, but I don't know that to be true. So maybe you know something I don't know. Tech says, man, Mr. Lang, we need people like you in leadership position. I know deeply within my heart you would turn this country around and bring us to where we need to be. Hope one day you consider it. All praises to God Almighty. I like words, etc. But I'm fully convinced that we have people who can do things to help move us forward, whether they exist in the Progressive Liberal Party or they exist in the Free National Movement or outside those two parties. The truth of the matter is we just have to find the courage to be able to speak to you, public, and to do things that even sometimes you, the public, will not feel or comfortable with or might be a little uncomfortable for you, the public. And this is where we are in the country. There are things that have to be done that we have to be uncomfortable for a while to produce the comfort we want after a while. That's the reality. We really do. This text says, why whenever there is a misstep by this government, there is a two-hour show ranting about it, but when there is something good, it will be mentioned for maybe the first 10 minutes and move on. Sorry, again, with all the missteps in the official opposition, never a two-hour show. I wonder why. Well, let me give you the answer to that. Why? I'm going to give you the answer to it. First of all, the opposition is not the government. Okay? Government of the Bahamas. Making major decisions, making major determinations. Right? So it is going to get... Why do you want to be the government? Because you're the big cheese. You're the big don. You are the one. Okay, you are not the opposition. It's the minority party. You are the majority party. You control the $3 billion purse string of the government. You do. You get to make the big decisions. And you're the one who's going to be in the spotlight. And this administration is no different than Minnis was, than Christie was, than Ingram was. And when they were being lit up for the choices they made, you were not crying. You were not texting shows asking, why don't you all talk about the good things for 2 hours? Right? You weren't there. Negative things are going to get more attention. That's the reality. Look at you. You are a perfect example. You spent this text talking about me and what I don't do to help promote something good. But you didn't spend time saying, you know, the government did this, the government did that positively, the government did the next thing positive. You did not take the opportunity to do the very thing you are criticizing. You know there's a word for that, right? But we can leave the word for the day. Let me tell you something. Yours, if you are FNM and your government is in power, or if you're PLP and your government is in power, you could dismiss from your mind that these shows are going to be playgrounds for your boosting and promotion. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let me look around the world and see where that happens. Where does that happen? Right? People play. We discuss the things that bother the public. That's what we do. We talk about things that bother the public, and then sometimes we try to bring things that elevate, etc. So save your words, man. In fact, don't save your words. Use your own words to build up and boost the people you want to, because you just wasted almost 50 words when you could have said some wonderful things, and I would have read every single word about the administration and what it did. Today, we're talking about NIB, and we're talking about NIB's, at least in this hour, NIB's, the conversation that cannot be ignored that took place between the minister responsible and the prime minister's office thereafter. What do you want me to do? We're trying to talk about salvaging the NIB fund, making sure that fund is viable. The reality is the country's demographics is changing. The demands on the fund, mind you, the fund had recommendations given from its inception that would help maintain the fund's viability, you know. But what happened along the way? But this text, they don't even acknowledge what happened along the way when I said Finling, Ingram, Christie, Minnis, and now Davis all kicked the can down the road. And what is the consequence? What we are having to contend with right now, today. Trying to save the fund using what some might call harsher measures than might have been the case if the matter was taken up more seriously earlier, right? And we need to make sure that the government can speak in a unified, coordinated fashion, no matter how much you like it, bro. No matter how much you like it. Don't act in stupidness, because I'm not going to read your nonsense text. I read the first one because it made a little more sense. But don't text me. Don't ask me to read nonsense, man. Okay? No feelings hurt? Go sit down somewhere, man, and go and stop listening to the show so you can fix your ways. We need a coordinated government. Always. Always. And this is instructed. It's not useful that the public hears from a minister and then later on hears from the prime minister correcting the minister with regularity. We don't need that. Mind you, it ought to happen if in fact the case is that the minister announced something that wasn't government policy, so the prime minister is not wrong to make clear what his government's policy is. How avoidable is something like that? You're going to make a major announcement in the Parliament of the Bahamas. How avoidable is it to say, Prime Minister, could you take a look at this or bring the matter to Cabinet? What would ordinarily happen is that a Cabinet paper on a policy like this, the Minister would prepare a Cabinet paper and introduce the issue, provide background, and then at the end of it, provide an invitation to the Cabinet that says, Cabinet is invited to agree X, Y, and Z. And if the Cabinet agrees it, there is a conclusion prepared, minister can go and make his announcement. If the cabinet does not, the minister is guided and he knows exactly what to do. No uncoordinated pronouncements made. No need for the prime minister to fall behind and say anything. Because why? On a major policy issue, the minister has prepared a sufficiently considered cabinet paper, taken it to cabinet, allowed his colleagues to weigh in on the matter, decide at the end of the day what the matter is, and then can make announcements accordingly. Yes, it's as simple as that. And then no one need to be angry because Shivago Lang and other talk show hosts get on the radio and talk about this miscue or miscommunication or lack of coordination between ministers. That would never happen. Many ministers do that. You know how many ministers have made announcements in the Davis administration and the prime minister has not had to come behind and say anything? So it cannot, right? It can't happen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Easter is right around the corner, and the Nassau Guardian is partnering with the Easter Bunny to give something special to you. Would you like to give your child an Easter basket filled to the brim with chocolate bunnies, surprise eggs, gift certificates, and more? Then you should enter your child into the Nassau Guardian's Easter coloring class. Three different categories, 5 to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 to 13. Deadline for entry is Friday, March 27th at 4 p.m. Purchase your copy of the Nassau Guardian to get your Easter coloring contest sign-up form. I'll let your children color away and win one of three baskets filled to the brim with Easter goodies from the Nassau Guardian. The Nassau Guardian's Easter Coloring Contest. For more information, call 302-2370.
Well done, Easter Bunnies. Good job.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. Hope all is well with you and your family. One thing I love about you, these people think they can call or text you with their foolishness. Mr. Lang, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. I appreciate it. Thank you. We can keep trying." keep trying. This text says, well said, Mr. Lang. Good day, Mr. Lang. Leadership is about making uncomfortable decisions. It's the ability of balancing what's best for the country over the trust of one wanting to hold on to power. That's very true many times. This text says, Mr. Lang, it would be in the best interest for the government of the Bahamas to raise the mandatory age of retirement to 67/69, thus causing a way for all those who have retired and re-engaged to remain on and not cost taxpayers more. They're receiving their pension because they are retired in addition to the amount their contract states in their re-engagement. You know, the increase in the retirement age would certainly help the fund save some money, because obviously you can delay outgoing funds for a longer period of time and allow those same people to be contributors for a longer period of time. And that's not going to sit well with some people, because some people have worked hard and looked forward to retiring at 65 and have done their due and put in their due. And you will see that delay as, you know, yet another something that they have to deal with that they find challenging. So that's a fact. But there's another aspect to increasing the retirement age. There is another aspect to it, which is this. If you keep people on longer, if they're able to work longer, that means that promotions also get to be delayed. So it can create a morale issue for organizations, because now two more years and I think I can do that job, and no, but I'm not being allowed to do that job. You could face that issue, right? For organizations. This issue of people getting pension and contract, I am not sure how that works. Because, for instance, if you're a retired permanent secretary, and you're brought back, even if you say you're a retired director and you're brought back, do you still collect your pension? Why are you collecting your pay? Because I know people who are retired that if they go back to work, they have to say to the National Insurance Board, I'm working now, and they're not supposed to be able to collect their pension. So is someone saying to me that if you are a retired permanent secretary, you get rehired on contract, that you collect both pension and your contract? Is that what is happening, right? Now, there might be other issues attached to bringing in, say, a retired director or retired permanent secretary, one of which is, are you really saying that in the totality of the government service, you are unable to find someone capable of doing that job? And the answer might be yes, you know. Or you might be saying that I could find somebody capable, but I'm comfortable with that person who was retired. I'm bringing. These are all choices to be made, right? You only have to hope as a public that whoever's brought back is actually creating the value that is being expended to have them. That's always the issue. See, we sometimes we say, well, this is an older person, why are they bringing them back, or person? But really the bottom line is, when I bring you back, are you really producing that value for me? Not some political comfort, but that value that the public is expending. See, we sometimes miss it, you know. The money being expended is public money. The government spending the money is a trustee of the government, of the public. So it's public money. Can I help you appreciate something again? So the government is a trustee. You are the the person who's setting up the trust now, the settlor, right? That's you. You're the settler. So you say to the government, a settler, I am going to give you these assets. That's my taxpayer dollars, my property, and all these things. And the trust is such that the trustee, the government, is only supposed to benefit you by what it does with your assets. Do you understand? It is never supposed to be the case in a trust arrangement that the trustee acts to benefit itself above the settlor, the person who sets up the trust. So in every instance of hiring, in every instance of contracting, in every instance of public policy execution, the key question for the trustee, the government, is, am I benefiting the settlor, the public, by my action? Now, that's a judgment call. But on the face of it, every political operator knows whether this is a partisan political decision or a person versus a decision benefit. Right? And that doesn't mean that everyone in the public has the benefit, because some decisions are taken for groups of people in the public, that are disabled, for instance, for women, for instance, for men, for instance, for children, for instance, not everybody, but everyone in that group for whom the policy is directed is supposed to be able to benefit. It's Texas Lang, you are correct, short term. Political gain will destroy you in a long-term political gain. Some people are suffering from those things. Fight now. You see, when the PLP was in power for 25 years, that destroyed a lot of people. This text says, the minister says, put himself in that position, or did the prime minister change his mind once the pronouncement was made? How would we know? We don't know. We don't know. We can't know. But no, what we do know is there were two contradictory policies issued by the government. And one, at least a policy issued in the first instance was corrected in the second instance, and appropriately so by the prime minister, whose government it is. This text says, Mr. Lang, if possible, can you work out what the total will be at the end of the biannual increase, and what would that look like for someone making $300 per week? That's a great question, actually. And I could certainly do that. Try to get to it for you. Let's see what we can do. Okay. This Texas High, Mr. Lang, great show. 1.5%, that's small change. But guess what? I don't give two hoots. I am a retiree. 1.5% isn't a small change, but 1.5 percentage point is not small change, actually. So yeah, you have to read the numbers. What is the NIB now is 9.something% and the split is 3-something. We'll get the numbers for you. And then we'll figure out some things. Again, I think Greg Bethel made a point the other day which is worth repeating. Greg Bethel noted, an NIB contribution is not, an NIB contribution is not a tax. It's not a flippant payment. NIB contribution is an investment. It's a pension investment. Why? Because in accordance with that investment, there are benefits to come to you, either by way of like maternity benefits or burial benefits or something like that, or even unemployment benefits. But then there is a retirement benefit that comes at the end of the day. So this isn't money you're throwing away, and the government can use it to go start Junkanoo Carnival or buy or go buy Alucayo or something like that. This is something the government is, that you are contributing to a fund, and that fund has a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that that money is there for you when you reach retirement. So this isn't money you throwing away. This is money you putting out there to save that will be invested for your benefit later on in retirement. I hear people say, well, government, that the NIB fund has been misused because the government keeps borrowing from it to build these clinics and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me, folks. One of the safest places you could put money in this country is in the government's hand as a loan. Because, why? Because the chances of the government not paying you back is slim to none. And if the government can't pay you back, if the government can't pay any NIB back, oh my goodness, everybody up the creek. The government can tax. The government is a taxer. Right? The government is a taxer. So you're putting money in the government hands. That's almost sure money, man. That's not no law. NIB gets its payments from the government regularly. The government does not miss payments to NIB. So that's not causing the fund any issues. So as somebody nicely told me, Minister LaRoto, when he was minister responsible for NIB, actually provided some examples for the numbers. So for instance, NIB contribution is now 9.8%. A 1.5 percentage point increase takes that to 11.3% in 2 years, right? So 11.3% in 2 years. All right, so let's look at that. So 11.3% in 2 years, and the next 2 years from that, you would be paying a rate of, if this happened, you'd be paying a rate of 11.5%. And 2 years from that, you would be paying 11.642%, right? And then on 2 years from that, you would be 11.8%. So let's say you are now paying your $300, and you're paying of that, your NIB contribution is now not 29%, because you pay 3.8%, I think. You pay 3.8%. The employee pays the balance. Right? So you now pay $11.14. Okay? So if the government then follows through in 2 years with the rate increase, you would be paying paying roughly 40%, I think, of that amount. Almost about 40% of that amount. And so you wouldn't be paying the 1.5. You might be paying, let's say, 0.3. You would be paying like 0.05 of that. And so then now you have to add what that would mean to your 300. So when we take a break, I'm going to do the calculations for you, and then we'll go from there and see what that means for you. So Mr. LaRota says, as a result of the 1.5 percentage points increase, the employer's portion rises from 5.9%. So the employer is paying 5.9%. Okay, 5.9%. And the employee is paying 5.9%, and the employee is paying the 3.9%, right? That's what the current situation is now. After the 1.95 percentage point increase, the employer's portion increases to 6.5%, and the employee's portion increases to 4.65%, right? 4.65%. So what do you pay? So what do you pay now on $300? You pay now on $300. You pay 11.70. What will you, after the 1.5% increase, you will pay on $300 now, you will pay $13.95, which is a difference of $2.25. That's over 2 years. Over 2 years, the difference you will pay is $2.25. That's on your weekly salary, which over 52 weeks would mean in a year, you would pay $117. Over 2 years, your increase over 2 years, your increase amount of NIB payment over the first year would be $117. Over 2 years, you would pay an additional $234. What is happening? So an additional $234 over 2 years now. Let me give you the total. Of a total of $15,600 in a year. So over $15,600 in a year, your increase amount is in 1 year $117. So what did the what did NIB take out of your pay to invest in your savings in the first year of the 1.5 percentage point increase if you were making $300 a week, which is $15,600 a year? NIB would take $117 out of your additional, out of your $15,600. What does that represent as a percentage? That represents, as a percentage, that represents less than 1% of additional monies for you. You understand that? Over 2 years, NIB would take out of your thing $234 out of $31,200 you would have made over that period. Got me? Anybody? Is raising the cap on contribution to say $100,000 like in the US, it is now $168,000. This amount is known as the maximum taxable earnings and will change each year until we hit the new cap. Well, we have a maximal tax, we have a not a taxable earning, we have a maximum deductible wage. Right. So I think I don't know if it's $600 or whatnot. It used to be 300. It went to 400. So we do have a maximum taxable wage in this country. So there is a cap on the not taxable. There is a cap on the wage that is deducted. So once you go over that, if you $700, $800, $900, $1,000, that's not what they're not calculating your NIB. on anything above that. You say $700, $740 a week. I don't know that to be true, to be honest, but if it is, then fine. But we do have a maximum, for sure. This text says, now I understand why you are no longer interested in local politics. You speak the truth. Keep up there. I used to speak the truth when I was in office too. I'm not doing anything in politics now because I'm doing something different. So just for you, Claire. Boy. This says, good afternoon, sir. I heard representative from NIB on Dwight's show this morning said NIB collects $23 million monthly, but pays out $27 million monthly in benefits. He also said it is best for the government of the Bahamas to invest funds to bring back returns. He also said where we are today at NIB is no government's fault. Is this so? Well, yes. I mean, it's a government's fault to this extent. All the administrations knew that there had to be adjustments in NIB's fundamentals in order to preserve the fund's viability. To the extent that those decisions were not made, then the issue is what it is today. But he's right in that it's not the government's fault in that the government messed up NIB's money. Because it's the changing dynamics of a society, the natural changing dynamics of a society that creates greater pressures on the fund that now requires a response. And so, yeah, it's not anybody's fault as in I went and used up NIB's money and therefore the money isn't there to be had or that's not the case. What is the case is that the country's circumstances are changing. And those changes in circumstances are putting pressures on the fund that requires adjustments to the fund in order to ensure that those changes do not make the fund insolvable. But to the extent that these things have been known for some time and not a sufficiently robust response was made to correct them, yeah, you could say there was some fault there. So, you know, there's some fault there. But arguing over his F and MPLV, nobody's going to get any satisfaction from that argument. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF. Money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visitclinicclinic.org/Caribbean.
Tuberculosis, also called TB, is a contagious disease that mostly affects the lungs and can sometimes affect other parts of the body. The bacteria that causes TB can be spread when droplets from an infected person is released into the air through coughing or sneezing. Some signs and symptoms of TB include a cough that lasts 3 weeks or longer, pain in the chest, coughing up blood, weakness or tiredness, weight loss of appetite, chills, fever, or night sweats. If you experience any of these symptoms, contact your healthcare provider immediately or contact the Tuberculosis Surveillance Unit at 502-4728 or 502-4803, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the Ministry of Health. Tuberculosis is a disease that can be treated and cured.
This message brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Wellness and this station.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. All righty. So the insurable wage ceiling is $740, according to some information I have since July 2012. So that's the maximum pay from which deductions are made. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing, sir?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
All right, everything's good, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, when you were talking about the contradiction between the Prime Minister and his ministers, I think you gave like three examples, sir.
Yeah,
and I mean, the thing about it is, it'd be good to know, like you were trying to figure out why, you know, like it even occurred in the first place, with me, much less reoccurring. But I feel as if, like, I think you may have hinted that it may be a process of, like, you know, throw it out there, you know, see how the people respond, and if it's a negative thing, then you come back and do a little damage control, you know, like a smoke and mirrors type thing. I think it's more on that level, sir.
But, you think so?
Yes, I think so, Mr. Lang. I think it's all a game. But Mr. Lang, I want to ask you, do you think it's possible that that percentage point that you were talking about, I think is one something now, do you think there's a possibility of it increasing over that time, or do you think it's going to be set in stone that it's just going to be just that set increase over the full duration of the increase?
Yeah, I don't think it would increase beyond 1.5%. I don't think so.
That'll be a good thing. I mean, you know, I mean, at least that'll be something that wouldn't take people by surprise. At least that's some levels, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I mean, Mr. Lang, I mean, I was just thinking, Mr. Lang, and I mean, do you think that, like, I mean, in all this this where the government is so desperate for funds and stuff like that, I mean, do you think it'd be a good idea for the government to revisit, like, some of the contracts that they have out that private individuals are now doing that the government could probably still do and save some money that way? I mean, do you think the government should look into that?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see how that will save the government. The more often than not when the government issues contractors because the best keep government. So I don't see that that does it, but what the government could do is it could curb how much spending it does going forward. It has that chance. It could do that.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Lang, I mean, that the curbing of the spending, like, I mean, like, that's not something that our government has proven over the decades. Yeah, that
maybe not, but that's easier to do than going to revisit a contract. A contract is a legally binding agreement you have with somebody, you know, and
yes,
unless
but,
you
yes,
and the
but,
person
but then,
agree.
But they expire, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, but you got to, hold on, but you got to let me finish, though.
Oh, sorry.
Unless you and the person agrees to amend the contract, then if you try to do it unilaterally, they will take you to court and they will likely win.
Understood. Yes, sir. Yes, I understand that part. But I mean, even if you have to wait it out, because I mean, I'm certain that contracts expire.
A contract can't expire. If you give me a contract to do a job, my job is to go do the job, and then when I'm done, you pay me. That's the job. That's the contract.
What I mean is that, like, you know, instead of renewing, like you might be getting paid to do a service, right?
Well, I see. That's a part of reducing your spending. You could, when the contract expires, you don't have to renew it. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, sir. And also, too, I mean, Mr. Lang, I mean, this might sound a bit, you know, off, but I mean, I feel as if it's a bit unfair, like, when I look at it, that MPs could go in the House for X amount of terms, right? And I think they get pension for the rest of their life. You know, I think that's
a bit
unfair.
But let me help you with something, and this is why we all have to be knowledgeable. The members of parliament and ministers do not have a non-contributory pension. They actually pay into their pension. It's deducted from their salaries.
Yes, sir. Okay, but I mean, everyone's pension is deducted from their salary.
That's not true. Again, you should ask the question. Civil servants have a non-contributory pension, meaning nothing is deducted from their salary for the pension. Nothing. Okay.
Okay, but at the end of the day, the people still pay their pension for the rest of their life, right?
Yeah, but the difference is, though, I am paying, if I'm a member of parliament, I am paying for my pension out of money's taken out of my pay. That's not true for a civil servant.
My brother, honestly,
listen, I'm giving you the facts. I'm not interested in debating this with you.
Let's debate something that's not factual.
I'm only saying,
Mr. Lang, it just sounds a bit, I mean, you know, odd that I felt as if everyone's pension came with the salary.
Yeah, but that's how you feel. I'm not interested in how you feel, and you shouldn't be in. We have the facts.
But you said that the MPs won't come with their salary, right?
Yes, that's what I said. That's a fact.
So civil servants don't come with their salary?
That's not, yes, exactly. It does not. It's called a non-contributory pension. That's why the government's pension is called an unfunded liability.
All right, sir. But yes, sir. But in any event, Mr. Lang, I feel as if it's something that they didn't really earn. You know, I mean,
my brother. Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
You take care. See, you can't come on the show, have wrong information, get correct information, and now you're going to say to me, you think it's something they didn't earn. How could they not have earned it? These are people being paid to do a job. They get paid to do a job, right? That's the job. They come and do the job. They go in the House of Assembly, they debate bills, they pass bills, etc. That's their job. Out of the pay that they get, which is a part-time pay deduction for their pension contribution, and now you're going to say you don't think they earn it? That's because you just don't think much of them. And I understand that. You just don't think much of them. But you can't say they didn't earn it, right? They didn't earn it. They had to earn it because they took monies was taken out of their pay to put toward their pension. That's reality. That's like saying all these folks who are maybe at the University of the Bahamas and other places who have contributory pensions. That's what they have, contributory pensions. That, oh, well, I don't think you earn it, so therefore, nonsense. nonsense. Absolute nonsense. This text says, blessing my MP. So while I understand and agree with the reasoning behind the impending increase in NIB, I feel like this is only one of the many changes that are needed if the fund will survive and continue to function as it should. For example, some years ago, I ran into a former expat teacher from Oxford High School. I found it very disturbing that while sharing how much better working conditions and salary he enjoyed once he transferred out of the Bahamas, he was in the Bahamas making arrangements to collect pension he is now entitled to after working only 5 years here. So now he will be collecting for the rest of his life. So my question to you is, do you believe NIB can sustain or survive policies such as this? Of course it can, because he is not collecting monies he didn't contribute. His monies were taken out of his salaries for 5 years, and he's going to get a pension consistent with that deduction from his salary. He's not getting free money. He's getting his money. So no, I think that's entirely doable. And it happens to Bahamians who live in the United States and work in the United States and who accrue pension in the United States as well. It happens the very same way. His text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Does the government pay back monies that they use for government expenditure, given the fact that the funds that NIB collected doesn't belong to the government, but rather to the hardworking people who place their fund in trust at NIB for when they retire? In my opinion, the government doesn't have the right to use NIB funds as they please. But first of all, the government doesn't use NIB funds as they please. That's the first thing. That's not true. Well, NIB, in order to earn income for its pensioners and for its beneficiaries, has to invest its funds. Okay? I want NIB to know something, as a matter of fact, as I try to speak to this person. I want NIB to know something. NIB, the government of the Bahamas, there is a huge lack of education among the population of the country about what NIB is. Can I tell you that? So this isn't a question of coming on shows and defending a rate increase alone. There needs to be, over time, sustained education on NIB. Now, I'm not going to blame altogether NIB for that, but I'm saying observing what exists, because this question reflects the fact that there is this lack of understanding. That this actually does, and so many others. And then speaking to people, they tell me there is a great need for this education. Okay? So NIB collects monies from you and I, my friend. NIB has to have that money available for benefits and pension, for benefits it pays out, but it also has to grow that money, meaning it has to invest it. But NIB cannot go out there investing this on wild projects, on some cryptocurrency and that kind of nonsense stuff, thinking that they are going to make all this money. No, they have to make it. They have to invest it in safe ways that bring a reasonable return. Well, one of the ways it does that is it lends monies to the government, just like Merrill Lynch does, or just like Europe International Institution does, or just like funds in the Bahamas does, or businesses in the Bahamas does. They all go and lend the money to the government. Why? Why would all these banks and all of these insurance companies and all these pension funds go and lend money to the Bahamas government that you think ain't all good? Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. Why do they do it? Because they know that it is, bar none, one of the safest ways to lend money. Why, that's the government of the Bahamas. If it gets broke, it'll tax you. In fact, it'll tax the same people borrowing, lending them the money. So what NIB does is lends the government's money, and the government uses that money to build clinics, et cetera. So that's the tie. NIB doesn't lend the government money to go pay salaries and all that kind of stuff. It lends it to do health infrastructure and these kinds of things. With that money that the government borrowed from NIB, the money and the interest rate, 6.5% or whatever it is. So NIB gets every, in accordance with the loan agreement, it gets back from the government a payment in accordance with the loan it took out. And the government of the Bahamas has never defaulted on that payment to NIB. Never. One time, never. Nor has it done to any other lender in the world. So it's not, but the government ain't no issue. Right? Isn't, and so you can't say the government don't have a right to do it. It's not a question of the government having a right. NIB's board is making that decision to do it because it's a good decision. That's what's happening. All right, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. And then I'm going to speak with a good friend about something they're doing. And then we're going to wrap up. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Marsha got the lady run into me, Marsha got.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
We need to talk. And it's about something pretty important, your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. But Bahamian families have changed. Families are having fewer children. This means less workers are entering the working contributions. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, pension payments have also increased. As a result, payouts have gone up, continuously exceeding contributions coming in, resulting in a deficit. That's why, starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. The July 1st rate increase is our way of ensuring that NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow, today, with NIB.
Three-Way Productions presents Showtime at Nassau Cruiseport. Experience live performances every weekend. The elegance of classical music. The infectious energy of Latin nights. The smooth sounds of jazz night. And a delightful evening of Bahamian music. March 15th and 16th and March 22nd and 23rd. Visit www.nassaucruiseport.com/more. Nassau Cruiseport, the place to be.
RBC debit card holders, collecting a new RBC Visa debit chip card just got easier with Saturday opening hours. Visit our Cable Beach, Carmichael Road, Palm Beach branches March 16th and March 23rd between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with one form of valid government-issued ID. Start enjoying greater security and contactless features with your new RBC Visa debit chip card now. RBC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon for these remaining moments of the show. Mr. David Williams, how are you, sir, today?
Good evening, sir. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege, as usual, Minister Lang. And I support a pension where we all make a contribution. That's my view. We all
there
to be,
go.
I don't want to say forced, but I think we ought to make a contribution.
There you go. But you got something important going on coming up tomorrow. Let us know what's happening. Tell us what that is.
Well, actually, this afternoon, 6:30, Man Talk.
This afternoon, okay.
Yes, GRIP, that's Gang Reduction and Intervention Prevention. Apostle Henry Higgins, he has been spearheading this initiative, along with the Uplifting Men's Ministry, of which I'm the director, Prison Fellowship, the Brotherhood, International Men's, and different men groups. What it is us as men coming together, Chapel on the Hill, thank Pastor Nathan Wells, and it's a space for men to talk and to share. I'll be the speaker today, talking on the topic, do men hurt? And if so, what can we do? So really what we want to do, it's not a church event. There's no singing, no praying, no preaching, nothing. It is men coming together. We have a speaker for 15, 20 minutes sharing. And then we get together. We play dominoes. We play chess, checkers. We provide the refreshments. And in this space, we want men to be able to talk and to share what they're going through and how are we able to help each other. So that's what it really is, Minister Lang, for 6:30 this afternoon.
Okay, so that's on Chapel, that chapel on the hill there on Tony Williams Darling Highway.
That's correct. Because we've heard that talk about women suffering in silence, right? And we always hear a lot of it, but so go through their pain. Men are hurt. And my experience has been, I share this after my 20 plus years involved in prison ministries, I've had the opportunity to sit down and listen to some men who are incarcerated. We call them residents up there. But when I sit down and listen to some of the things they go through, you know, no excuse for what they've done. And then you're able to understand that men hurt. They go through some pain, and for no fault of their own per se, you know, we need to share. And so this is what we're hoping to create. Every Monday, 6:30, there'll be a speaker to address men issues, whether spiritual, financial, mental, physical. We have a speaker coming in every Monday, only for 10, 15 minutes to talk, address a topic, and then we sit down and we have dominoes, chess, and checkers. The anticipated time is at least 6:30 to 8, maybe 8:30. And so we're hoping, instead of going to the bar and all of the other places, whether you're Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or Rasta, whatever, whoever you are, all you need to do is have the title as of a male and be able to sit down and let's talk and share and experience challenges. Let's talk about it. Like I say, I'm going to speak from my experience. And persons ask me, why are you always in ministry and you all about? Well, hey, I've had my time, right? And I want to be able to share with others. What took me through it? How did I get the help? What did I do? And be hoping to hear from others and provide a means of comfort and support.
Your name is David Williams.
Right.
And listen, I want to give you a quote from a David Thoreau.
Yes, sir.
David Thoreau says, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them.
Well, I hope, Minister Lang, that the narrative could be changed as we meet on Mondays, different to address men issues, and with just men in the room, hopefully they'll feel comfortable enough to be able to share with somebody, if not publicly. You'd be able to pull someone aside and say, hey, I am going through this. I am dealing with this. What advice or which direction can you point me in? That's the goal. And we want to be able to come out of the church building. For now, that's the space we have. We want to go into a community center for those persons who may feel uncomfortable coming into a church building.
Well, we wish you well, my friend. We know y'all can do what y'all have to do, and we anytime we could help, you let us know. I'm happy to help get the word out for you.
I want to thank you too, as usual. Every time I touch base with you, you always give me this opportunity. So to God be the glory for great things you've done, Minister Lang.
Yeah, take care, man. We talk to you again next time.
Okay.
Have a good one tonight. This text says, Mr. Lang, if someone makes 4 years contribution and let's say it amounts to $10,000, is it just $10,000 they will collect during their lifetime? I don't think so, because you can get benefits before your retirement that might include your retirement benefit. And then I think if your benefits might also amount to the extent of the fund growth and that kind of stuff. So I don't think some people may get less because they may not live as long after they retire, and then some people may get more. So, but I don't think you get just what you put in exactly. I don't think so. But here again, I say, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for educating the public about these various aspects of NIB. And I want NIB to know I'm happy, as all of our shows have been happy to help get that message out. As Texas lang for far too long, it has been contradictory statements made by the PM and his ministers. As Texas, Mr. Lang, may be good for some to retire at 67, but better if you retire at 60, 65, make room for promotion and younger workers, yeah? This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It's possible retiree on contract and not officially an employee, something like temp work. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Lang, is there any other way to find a pension other than NIB format, one that will not keep running into trouble? Well, there are private pensions programs that you can get in, right? So, but again, all those pension programs have to abide by certain fundamentals too to ensure that they are sustainable. The difference between them and NIB is that they do not require the government to make a decision to adjust the fund rate or something in order to protect the fund. Right? They don't have to worry about the politics of it, about who's can get mad because they have to pay $2.25 more. I want you all to hear again. Right? I'm not trying to spend your money. I'm not telling you how your money fix. Everybody could have their own issues. But a 1.5 percentage point increase on $300 a week is $117 new money for that person a year. How much is it for somebody making $740? Somebody making $740, that's $288.60 new money. $280, that's for the whole year now. So that's $28.12 a month new. $28.12 a month new. How much is a Coke soda now? Somebody tell me. Is a can of Coke $1.50? Let's say a can of Coke is $1.25. Let's just say. So if it's $1.25, that's 22 Cokes a month, a week. Maybe it ain't Coke, but how many people you know some drink a week? Imagine taking that drink money and investing it in your pension. I'm just saying. Okay? Now, that's for the person making $740. The person making $300, that's like 9 Cokes in the month. That's like, don't go with Coke. Don't go without your soda pop for 9 days. 9 days out of 30. So for 21 days, you could still have your pop. Still. That's like, don't go with that snack you've been buying one time in the month. You could have it for the other 10 times, but not that one time in the month. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. I hope that the show has been helpful to you. God spares our lives. We will be back tomorrow. Take care. Have a great evening.
Brought together through the storm, whatever weather warm, let me know that you're not alone. I'll up if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.